Good morning, everybody. I think many of you know that I've served in this church for many years. And over those years, I've seen different church members deal with hosts of problems. Some have been diagnosed with terminal cancer. Some has found out that their spouse had been unfaithful. Some had lost jobs and encountered severe financial issues. Some have suffered deep disappointment because they didn't get into the school they hoped for. And some have been crushed by a broken relationship. There are many different storms that people have faced in their lives. And it happens certainly to all people. And it happens to Christians, church members, people who are faithfully coming to church every week. And these storms have the potential to overwhelm them, to threaten to drown them. And so maybe you reflect on your own life, about the storms that come into your life. Think of those times where God just didn't make sense, that your problem seems so big and your faith so small. There are times that you feel you're swamped and so afraid that you're going to be overtaken by the storm. I think all of us have gone through those tough periods, those storms in our lives. And Jesus' disciples encountered a storm in the passage that we're about to look at. And I believe that this passage helps us to understand how to deal with the different storms in our lives. So why don't we read this passage? You'll find the passage printed in the front of your program. We're going through the book of Mark, and this is part of the biography of Jesus according to Mark. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." In leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And the other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and sea obey him?" The story follows chronologically after Jesus had been doing a lot of teaching. And if you piece together all the four Gospels, perhaps he had preached the Sermon on the Mount, and certainly in Mark chapter 4, if we look at the previous passages, we recognize that he was using parables to teach his followers. And you notice that in the beginning of the passage, it says, "on that day." So it seems like during the day he had been doing a lot of preaching and teaching, particularly using parables. Now, certainly, sermons can be good, right? Hopefully you agreed with that. But there are times that sometimes sermons don't do much good. That is, sometimes we need real life experiences. real life situations that teach us things that listening to a sermon or reading a book will not help us with. My parents are from China, from Toisan, and so they were not very well educated. They came to this country and they just worked hard for a living. And I was able to go to school, and I remember going to high school. I went to Cambridge High in Latin, and I was studying things like algebra, geometry, biology, all these different things. And my parents, they never studied those things, and their English was not very good. In fact, a lot of times when they would get a letter from the government or from the utility company or something, they would have to ask me what it's all about, okay? And so I think I got sort of a superiority complex. I was thinking to myself, hey, you know, I know a lot of stuff, okay? And I remember maybe I was having this kind of haughty attitude, and my parents gave me quite a lecture. They told me, yeah, you may do well in school. You might even get A's. You might get a degree and all those different kind of things. But there are certain things you can't learn in a book. There's certain things that you have to go through in terms of life. And that's true, especially as I get older. Because I think that sometimes we think that, oh, yeah, we just study it, we read about it, you know, we analyze it, all those kinds of things. And we think we know a lot, but there's certain things that are not taught in books. There's certain things that you can't learn by listening to a sermon. There are things that you have to go through. And having a lot of knowledge is not the same as having wisdom and experience in life. And Jesus knew that. So Jesus wasn't just lecturing to his people and telling him all these things. He recognized that sometimes people have to go through certain experiences in their life so that they really get it. They really understand what he's talking about. And so this is a story like that, that Jesus, yes, had taught previous in the earlier part of this same chapter using parables, using illustrations, but even that is not enough. Sometimes you have to go through something so that you will learn certain lessons. Now, all of this took place on what is called the Sea of Galilee, or it's really a lake, the Lake of Galilee. And the Lake of Galilee is a freshwater lake. It's about the size of Lake Winnipesaukee. Okay, some of you have gone to conferences up in New Hampshire, and you know kind of the size of that lake. Well, it's about that same size. And the Lake of Galilee was susceptible to very sudden and violent storms because of its geography and unique physical features. It is the lowest freshwater lake on the whole planet. Okay? That is, it's way below sea level. And the Sea of Galilee, or the Lake of Galilee, is 700 feet below sea level. And yet, 30 miles to the north of this lake is Mount Hermon, which is about 9,200 feet high. So within about 30 miles, you have this difference of about 10,000 feet in terms of the physical geography. And what you have because of this is that there is this constant clashing of cold air from the mountains and the warm air coming up from the Lake of Galilee. And as a result, in this area, there was susceptible to lots of storms, sudden storms, lots of squalls and thunder boomers. And so, yes, this physical feature made it very susceptible to these kinds of storms. But this storm is something that God orchestrated. It's something that Jesus had planned. And so this storm was not just some random storm that just took place, but rather it was something that Jesus had orchestrated. Now, we find that Jesus had been preaching And he was really tired. And so when he got into the boat and he said, let's go to the other side, he fell asleep on the stern. And the stern, for us people who are not used to boats, is the rear of the boat. Okay, it's the end of the boat, all right? And this is where Jesus just fell asleep on the cushion. And the fact that he didn't even wake up in the midst of a storm tells you how physically exhausted Jesus was. Now, I know a lot of people think that, oh, you know, those pastors, they have pretty easy jobs. All they do is just come up on Sunday, talk for a few minutes, and then that's it. Their job is done. And it's harder than you think, all right? It's harder than you think, and it can be exhausting. And I remember times that, you know, after preaching, you know, here and in Newton, I'm exhausted, okay? And so Jesus was exhausted from preaching that day, and he fell asleep on the boat. And even though this is a story about a physical storm, I believe that there are four principles here that can help us through the storms of life. And the first, and you'll see the outline in your program, the first principle that we should see here is that storms will come. Storms will come. Storms are inevitable. We live in a fallen world. They will happen to you. There will be storms. They are part of life. And yes, things may be going right for you at this time, but pay attention. In a split second, everything can change. Your whole world can be flipped upside down. Now, there are Christians who believe in what's called the health and wealth theology. That is, they are people who believe that the Bible teaches that certainly, you know, if we are believers, God's children, and he is our Heavenly Father. And so their reasoning is that, well, if we're his children and he's our Heavenly Father, then he'll protect us. He will bless us. He will take care of us. Nothing bad will happen to us. And that's a faulty theology because the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible doesn't teach that if you're a Christian, that you're exempt from problems and difficulties and challenges. In fact, Jesus in John 16:33 says, in the world, you will have tribulation. Okay? And so Jesus teaches the opposite of what these health and wealth people teach. J.C. Ryle, who was an English preacher in the last half of the 19th century, said this, if you are a believer, you must reckon on having your share of sickness and pain, of sorrow and tears, of losses and crosses, of deaths and bereavements, of partings and separations, of vexations and disappointments, so long as you are in the body. Christ never undertakes that you shall get to heaven without these. He has undertaken that all who come to him shall have all things pertaining to life and godliness. But he has never undertaken that he will make them prosperous, rich, or healthy, and that death shall never come to their family. Close quote. So, storms are inevitable. Storms are also unpredictable. They come suddenly. They come unexpectedly. Yes, sometimes they may be gradual in nature, but sometimes it can be sudden and without warning. And these storms can be severe as well. There's another myth that some Christians believe, and that they believe, similar to the health and wealth people, that Christians believe that because God loves them, then the storms will be easy storms. Okay? They sort of believe sort of a variation of the health and wealth. They say, oh yeah, you'll have storms. That is, you'll have cloudy days. You know, like yesterday, right? It was kind of gloomy and dark and rainy, right? And it wasn't a very pleasant day. And they say, oh yeah, as a Christian, there's going to be some cloudy days in your life. But there are going to be storms, not just cloudy days. There are going to be storms in your life as well. Some people sort of think that, oh, if we're God's child, maybe the worst that could happen to us is we're going to get a parking ticket or something, right? But they don't expect that you could lose a child or get cancer or any of these kinds of things. Those are storms. And those storms happen even if you are a Christian, even if you are a faithful Christian. Now, in this story, this was a very severe storm. It wasn't just a cloudy, a rainy day. This was a very severe storm. In fact, most of the disciples were fishermen. They had experience on that lake. They were catching fish. They know how they've gone through lots of different storms, but this storm was different. This storm says, they said, we are perishing. We are dying. We're going to be dead unless Jesus does something. And so they were frightened. And so they were overcome with the severity of the storm. And another myth that Christians believe is that if I obey God, maybe God doesn't exempt all Christians. But if I'm an obedient Christian, if I obey the Ten Commandments, if I do my quiet time every day, if I come to church every week, then everything will go well with me and I'll have a blessed life and problem-free life. Now, certainly the Bible has stories about people who were sinful, who were disobedient. There's another sea story, you might say, in the Old Testament called Jonah, right? You know about Jonah and it's not a whale, it's a great fish, right? But you know that Jonah was supposed to go and preach the gospel, not the gospel, but at least about God to Nineveh. And yet he went in the opposite direction. And God sent a storm to stop him. And the storm was so severe that they had the fishermen threw him overboard, and he was swallowed by this great fish. So certainly there are stories that teach us that, oh, if I am disobedient to God, he may sometimes bring storms into our lives, all right? So certainly in that case, it was his disobedience that caused the storm. But in this story, this storm that took place in this passage was not the result of disobedience. In fact, it was the result of obedience. Look at verse 35. It says, on that day when evening had come, he said to them, that is Jesus, let us go across to the other side. Whose idea was this to go to the other side? Jesus' idea. He wanted to go to the other side, right? And so the disciples, they obeyed him. And so because of their obedience, they encountered the storm, right? And so even if we are obedient to God, it doesn't mean that we're going to be exempt from storms. In fact, sometimes because of our obedience, God will bring storms into our lives. And in verse 38, it says, but he was in the stern, that is Jesus, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him up and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And so here the disciples, they were in trouble, and Jesus doesn't seem to care, right? Because they asked the question, don't you care that we are perishing? And there are a lot of times that we go through storms in our lives, And we cry out to God, and it seems that God is asleep. It seems like he's not aware that we are perishing, we are dying. And it doesn't seem he is caring about us. But Roman number two, the second principle in this story, Jesus cares for us and is with us. Jesus cares for us and is with us. Jesus' presence on that boat should have been enough for those disciples. Listen to what Jesus said, had promised, Matthew 28:20. At the end of the Great Commission, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you or forsake you. And the Lord said in Isaiah 43:1-2, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. A soldier in the Persian Gulf War wrote, safety lies not in our distance from danger, but in our nearness to God. And so Jesus was there with them in the boat. And so he is there with them. And so that should have been enough. But for many of us, we want a sign. We want to see something. We see that, you know, if Jesus seems to be asleep, he doesn't seem to be aware of what's going on in our lives. But Jesus has already given us a sign already, hasn't he? He gave us the sign of the cross, right? We just celebrated Good Friday and Easter last weekend. And those holiday events help us to remember what Christ did, that he showed us his full love. He gave his life for us. And so the cross is a symbol of his love for us. We take Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper, once a month. And it's not some empty ritual we just go through, but it's supposed to remind us that Jesus' body was broken for us and his blood was shed for us, that he loves us. That's what should remind us in the midst of storms, that we recognize that Jesus cares for us and he is with us. The third principle that we see in this passage is that Jesus is all-powerful, all-powerful. And in Mark 4:39-41, it says, and he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and sea obey him? So you visualize what's happening, right? They're in the midst of this tremendous storm that even these experienced fishermen were scared. They think they're gonna die. All the wind is blowing and howling. The waves are churning and the water's getting into the boat. And then all of a sudden, Jesus says, you know, peace, be still. Okay. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. In other words, not only did the wind stop, but the lake was like calm. You know how sometimes you see pictures in, especially in the autumn, of these lakes, and they're like mirrors. They're so still, right? That's what was happening here. All of it went from this howling storm and this churning waves to this complete calm that was there. And this shows the power of Jesus. It shows that Jesus is God. It shows that He is all powerful. Psalm 89, verse 8 and 9 says, O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty as you are, O Lord, with your faithfulness all around you. You rule the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them. Wow. So even in the Old Testament, it even sort of predicts what God can do and what Jesus can do. And we know that we can't control the weather, right? I mean, the weatherman comes and he just brings us the news, right? And tells us what's going to happen, but he can't control it. And we haven't had a really big storm here in New England in a long time. But if you go down to New Orleans, they can tell you what a storm is like. Or maybe parts of New Jersey where Superstorm Sandy was there. They can tell you how powerful a storm can be. And so if Jesus can still this storm, it shows that He is God and He can control everything because He made everything. He's the creator of everything. And so He is in charge. He is control. And you notice that once in verse 41, they were filled with great fear. Now, it's not talking about the storm any longer. Yes, they were fearful when the storm was coming, but now they're even more fearful. Why? Because they realize Jesus is not just some ordinary person. He's not some prophet from God. He is God. And the fact that Jesus was right there in the boat with them filled them with great fear because of the holiness of God. And so certainly they were not asking the question, who then is this, even the winds and sea obey Him? That's just a rhetorical question. They realized the answer to that question. This is God. And so we need to recognize that Jesus not only cares for us, but He is all-powerful as well. And then the last thing, in verse 40, Jesus said to His disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Now, this is talking about their fear of the storm, right? Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? And so He rebuked them for their fear. He rebuked them for their lack of faith. Now, is Jesus being unreasonable here? I mean, this is like a tremendous storm. And it goes to our fourth principle, and that is we need to grow in faith. We need to grow in faith. And in some sense, Jesus had said to them, I've been giving you enough evidence of my love and my power that you didn't have to freak out. Where is your faith, right? And so we've seen that if you read through the beginning part of Mark, that Jesus had done a number of miracles. He had healed people. He had cast out demons, right? And yet they still did not believe. And so they had fear, and this fear is the result of the lack of faith. And they were missing, in some sense, two important points. One, God loves us. And number two, God is in control. This is theology 101, all right? This is what you learn even in preschool, in Sunday school, right? God loves us, and God is all-powerful, right? And if you get those two things, that will give us faith. That's the thing that we need to build up in our lives, is our faith that God loves us and he is in control of all things. And so, you know, Jesus had, again, taught them through teaching them. For instance, on the Sermon on the Mount, it talks about how God cares for each of them. He said that you're more valuable than the flowers and the birds. God cares for them. How much more does he care for you? Right? And so they had heard it, but somehow they didn't believe it. They didn't really have that kind of faith. And if they really had the faith that Jesus wanted, they would not have woken up Jesus. They would have said, okay, this is a really bad storm, but Jesus, he's with us. He cares for us. He's not going to allow us to die in this thing, all right? And so they would have had that faith that Jesus would take care of them in that situation. Now, it doesn't mean that God will bail us out of every situation like he does here. Sometimes he will allow us to go through and suffer those difficulties and not change those things. But Jesus allows people that he loves to go through storms. And those storms are utilized to build up your faith. God's purpose is not to shield you from storms, but God uses storms to shape us to become more like Jesus Christ. James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4 says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." So Jesus allowed people that he loves to go through storms in their lives to learn lessons that they cannot learn by listening to a sermon or reading a book. They had to go through it through experience. And so those experiences are designed to shape us and to help us to grow in our faith. There's a moldy oldie Christian song called "Through It All," written by Andre Crouch. And one of the lyrics says, "If I never had a problem, I'd never know that God could solve them. I'd never know what faith in God could do." Right? And so there's a lot of truth in those lyrics, that sometimes we think that we should be exempt from all problems because we're Christian, because we're faithful Christians, we're obedient Christians. But God will allow the storms of our lives to come to shape us, to mold us, to build up our faith so that we will learn faith lessons. And, you know, the disciples finally learned it, because if you follow what happened to the disciples, certainly according to tradition, most of them died as martyrs for their faith and spreading the gospel. And so they finally got it. And so when we encounter storms in our lives, it is those times that we see God's power most visibly, and we sense his presence most intensely.